This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
We're told over and over again that smartphone addiction is metastasizing into mental health pandemic. Smartphone addictions are metastasizing into a mental health pandemic. Are we hooked on screens? Answer, yes. The majority of Americans are hooked on screens, and the younger they are, the more they're hooked on the screens. And another article tells us that the tech epidemic is eating away at Americans' minds. A sudden, unprecedented surge in mental disorders is leading us at significant risk. Another article says smartphones they're seductive, they're addictive, and detrimental to mental health. We're going to focus on that in the second half of the program here today on Viewpoint, and I'm glad that you've joined us. It's Conversation with Ever-Increasing Conviction, Talk That Transforms. But before we get to that, try this on for size. Cancer cases set to soar 77%. By 2050. As the world's population ages, a new report warns that the number of people with cancer could climb 77% by 2050. How the problem is that cancer is soaring among our young people. How is that possible? What is it that's causing cancer to soar even among our teenagers and Generation Z? Interesting question. I wonder whether Trump's new appointment for the Surgeon General will help us correct these problems. We're going to meet her in just a moment here, but I'm going to share some thoughts with you concerning her. She's just been appointed. U.S. President Donald Trump nominated author, influencer, and health entrepreneur Casey Means as the country's Surgeon General on Wednesday. Dr. Means is a supporter of Health Secretary John F. Kennedy, or Robert F. Kennedy Jr., and his Make America Healthy Again, the MAHA agenda, which views pharmaceutical and food companies as corrupt and responsible for a rise in chronic disease. The U.S. Surgeon General is considered the leading authority on matters of public health and is considered the nation's doctor. In announcing his decision, the president said that Dr. Means has impeccable credentials and will reverse the chronic disease epidemic. Dr. Means, age 37, received a medical degree from Stanford University, but has been applying it in different ways other than just in medical practice. In 2024, she co-wrote a book with her brother, Callie Means, called Good Energy, The Surprising Connection Between Metabolism and Limitless Health. The book drew attention from a large range of conservative podcasters, including Tucker Carlson. On Mr. Carlson's podcast, she said chronic illnesses are driven by our toxic food system and our toxic environment. She said these subtle, insidious forces, which are creating slow, progressive illness, allow patients to be profitable and on the pharma treadmill for their entire lives. She said, they make us sick, but they don't kill us, but we're drugged for life. Dr. Means said that RFK Jr. has a vision for the future that aligns with what she says I want for my family, future children, and the world. Let's introduce ourselves, friends, to Dr. Casey Means.
Is so imperative for people to understand is that the reasons we're having surgery, the reasons why we're getting sick, the reasons why American competitiveness is plummeting, the reasons why our kids are chronically ill, half of the kids in America are chronically ill, are all from preventable issues. So if you're a doctor who's not spending any time on focusing on that, then unfortunately, for better or worse, you are bankrolling on the problem.
Do you remember what Eli...
I honestly think you're going to change the world. I mean that.
Thank you.
Just had to say that.
Thank you. for having us here.
Oh, your description of your parents is,
it brings me to tears.
Oh, my gosh.
I cannot wait to have children. There is no greater role. There is no greater role in this world. And, you know, I was sold such a bill of lies, like climb the corporate, you know, climb the medical ladder, become the chair of an institution. I can think of no greater thing that we can do than have children and keep them healthy.
Yes.
Right? And I just, you know, up until a couple years ago, I didn't even want to have children because I thought it was a liability to this value system of just, like, rise the ranks, you know, make money. But I don't think there's anything more important we could be doing than creating healthy children who are thinking for themselves, who are eating healthy food, and I cannot wait for that role. And I think it's a spiritual corruption of our society right now that we have forgotten that this is the most important thing that we can do. You know, it's unbelievable how far off we are, and I think it is deeply a spiritual crisis.
There you go. She says it's a spiritual crisis. The health crisis is a spiritual crisis. Isn't that interesting? Coming from the new Surgeon General appointed yesterday. Well, I welcome you to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. It's conversation as always with ever-increasing conviction, talk that transforms. And perhaps there are going to be some things here that are revealed on the program today that might actually be somewhat convicting. But that's okay because listeners to this program expect to be changed, right? As one listener said, you just can't listen to Viewpoint long and not be changed. So today we focus on our health. We focus on our minds and emotions and our physical health. And I'm glad that you've joined us. A stunning survey reveals that a quarter of Americans have never eaten vegetables. Now, that's astounding to me. It's utterly astounding. A quarter of Americans have never eaten vegetables. I don't know what my life would be without vegetables. We should be eating vegetables. Most everybody knows that. We should be eating fruits and vegetables. One person recently told me, I don't eat fruit. I don't eat fruit. Why? Well, I don't eat fruit. Don't like the taste or don't like the texture or don't like this. People say that about vegetable. There are certain vegetables and so on. Well, as I told my grandchildren over years and years and years as they grow up, spent time in our own home, and they would ask me to do certain things, and they say, but I don't want to. And my answer was, well, then change your want to. Change your want to. One person told me, I saw them eating broccoli one day when they said they hated broccoli. And I said, oh, what happened? The person said, I developed a taste. Well, maybe we could develop a taste for certain things. And we can change our want-tos. If we want to change our health, then we want to change our want-tos, right? Another study says that if we begin a healthy lifestyle at 80 years of age, you might live to 100. It reveals that making lifestyle changes even after 80 years of age can help you live to 100. A healthy diet, regular exercise are important components. Wow. Life-changing. We'll be back after this. Stay tuned, friends. We're taking a look at our health today. I'm sure you're interested.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination.
So what happened in just one generation?
Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
You want to live longer? Choose the stairs over the elevator. That's what a new study shows. Folks who regularly climb stairs have a 24% reduced risk of dying from any cause and a 39% reduced risk of dying from heart disease compared to those who always take the elevator. Now, you want to know what you can do for your health? It's pretty simple. take the stairs. If you have the choice of taking the stairs or the lift, go for the stairs. It'll help your heart, said the doctor. It's easy, relatively easy, easily acceptable form of physical activity. One person told me when they were up there in their 80s or 90s, the person told me that the stairs in her home were her salvation, so to speak, for her health. She was so glad that there were stairs in her home. What are we afraid of? Study suggested that the more stairs were climbed, the greater the benefits. So, just a little hint along the way, if you want to boost your longevity up to 40%, take the stairs. In other words, keep it simple, saints. We can't do what we can't, but we can do what we can and trust God to do what we can't. And how about the surprising link between coffee and your liver? Coffee is one of the most beloved beverages around the world, not only for its rich flavor, but also for its energizing effect with caffeine. But interestingly, recent research suggests that coffee may also play a role in reducing the risk of liver disease. That just adds another potential benefit to the very long list of benefits to drinking coffee. The liver is essential, as you know, to our well-being. It filters out the toxins in our life, in our bodies, aiding digestion, regulating metabolism. Conditions such as hepatitis, fatty liver disease, and cirrhosis comprise what we know as liver disease. But these conditions can severely impair the liver's function over time. Well, how about drinking a few cups of coffee a day? Coffee drinkers had a much lower chance of developing chronic liver disease or fatty liver disease, especially those who consume 3 to 4 cups a day. Protect your liver. You probably aren't going to be able to protect your gizzard because if you're human, you don't have one. But you could protect your liver. Obesity epidemic costs now are amounting to the trillions of dollars. Obesity will cost the United States trillions of dollars in excess medical expenditures over the next 10 years, according to a new report from the Joint Economic Committee. Last year, Republicans on the committee estimated that obesity would cost the federal government $4.1 trillion over the next 10 years. But this year's estimate is between $8 and $9 trillion over the decade. Wow, that's a lot of money. And when we're talking about reducing the cost of government, maybe this is one of the best ways to reduce it. Maybe it's another major way to reduce the cost of government and to reduce the cost of medical care. Maybe there is something you and I could do about it. So, what are you going to do about it? You could reduce your calorie intake by 20%, maybe 30% daily, and it will help to solve the problem. You don't have to go running to Ozempic or any of these other Mounjaro or any of these other medications, drugs and so on, shots. How about just doing it the natural way? Since we're talking about health and not being addicted to drugs. Oh, and by the way, listen very carefully to this one. Tattoos may increase the risk of developing lymphoma, an alarming new study finds. Of course, in the modern landscape of self-expression, the allure of tattoos seems to be growing exponentially. But this new study contains a startling revelation. People with tattoos have a 21% higher risk of developing lymphoma. Regardless of the tattoo size. So, how important do you consider a tattoo? How important do you consider a tattoo? Maybe, just maybe, you might want to reconsider. Lymphoma is a type of cancer that attacks the lymphatic system, a key component of the body's immune defense. The study found that the most common types of cancer associated with tattooed people were large B-cell non-Hodgkin lymphoma and follicular non-Hodgkin lymphoma. The American Cancer Society says that non-Hodgkin lymphoma is one of the most common cancers in the U.S., accounting for about 4% of all cancers. And you might be able to eliminate that risk by 21% by not having a tattoo. Now, I don't know about removing tattoos and to what extent that may help you avoid the problem. But I want to share something with you that may actually affect your thoughts on this. You say, well, I don't know what this cancer called lymphoma is about. I don't understand that. We don't hear much about that, so I'm not concerned about that. Well, I'm going to tell you, I have a very close friend that is very concerned about it, as is her husband. She's been fighting this for at least 3 years, and it's insidious. And it comes in like the fog on little cat feet. Initially, it doesn't seem all that big, all that great. And you think, well, you know, this is medicine and modern medicine can handle these kinds of things. Not so quick. Now, this particular friend is lying in hospice waiting for the end of her life. She's a Christian. I don't even think she has a tattoo. But if she did, it would increase her risk of getting this very insidious cancer by 21%. Are you willing to take that risk? Are you willing for your kids to take that risk? Your grandchildren? Pastors, why are you yielding to the temptation? Trying to please the people? Show off for the young people? Look how cool I am. No, you're not cool. You're foolish. So, I want to share with you, I wish that I could show you the most recent picture of the result of this lymphoma cancer. It attacked the leg of my dear friend. And at first they thought, well, a little chemo would help and nuclear help. Radiation would help, but it didn't. And it continued on advancing, gradually erupting in various lesions and so on. And then the lesions began to open up into wide gaping sores. And no matter what was done, no matter how much medicine, no matter how much was done, how many radiations, how many chemo, it didn't seem to help. And now, the latest picture showed that just on the lower side of the leg, from the knee down, all of the flesh has been eaten up. All the flesh. All the way down to the ligaments, tendons, and bones. It's like seeing right through a leg. And that's what this cancerous lymphoma has done. And you want to take the risk, a 21% risk, that by getting your tattoo, you're going to be one that isn't going to be subjected to this kind of problem. I tell you, if you saw the picture that I have on my cell phone, you would be shocked. But I don't know if you'd be shocked enough not to get a tattoo. because people are so addicted to try to please others and think that's going to make them cool. It's going to make you acceptable. It's going to make pastors acceptable from the pulpit so that the people will respect the message of the gospel if you just get a glorious tattoo. Oh, yeah, you can put a cross on your arm. You can put a scripture somewhere. But it's not going to remove the risk of cancerous lymphoma. A word to the wise. And for those of you that are concerned about dementia, the onslaught of dementia, one of the most feared things, it used to be cancer was the most feared thing. Now it's almost dementia. Vitamin D deficiency is linked to early onset dementia. And a new research finds vitamin D may provide adults under the age of 65 with protection against dementia. Nearly 35% of adults in the United States are vitamin D deficient. Well, one of the reasons is that they don't go outside. They're addicted to their cell phones. They're addicted to the computer. They don't go outside anymore. They don't even get the benefit of the sun to give us some good vitamin D. Even 10 minutes of sun on your face can be healing for your body. The average age of someone between 30 and 64 years of age living with either young onset dementia or Alzheimer's is 49 years of age, with women being disproportionately affected compared to men. This is a big deal. Now, here's something that I would recommend to you. Supposing that you don't eat vegetables like 25% of the nation states that they don't. Well, you might just go to Costco. You might just go to your grocery store or whatever and pick up a bottle of vitamin D tablets. Vitamin D. They're little tiny things. Not going to choke you. You might want to take one a day to keep Alzheimer's away. One a day to keep Alzheimer's away. It just might help. Again, some of us might have to change our want-tos in order to benefit our health. But here's one thing that you might not have to change your want-to about. The many health benefits of dark chocolate. Dark chocolate is rich in antioxidants, which can help protect your body from free radicals, unstable molecules that can cause cellular damage. It also contains flavonoids, a bunch of fancy words and names to help reduce inflammation and enhance brain function. Actually, dark chocolate has been shown to lower blood pressure, to improve blood flow, and reduce the risk of heart disease. Does that mean you should go out and eat a whole bar of dark chocolate every day? No, but you might want to take one little section every day. Quality dark chocolate with 70-85% cocoa contains fiber, copper, magnesium, iron, and manganese. A 3.5-ounce bar has a whopping 600 calories. Provides antioxidants, loaded with antioxidants, polyphenols, flavanols, and these other quetiachins, whatever it is, that may help lower your LDL cholesterol levels. Dark chocolate with almonds is especially protective, reducing heart risk disease. Dark chocolate has been shown to reduce harmful LDL cholesterol levels in the blood, which can result in a lower risk of heart disease. And it boosts the immune system. Along with a lot of other things. Dark chocolate, wow. So we ended on a positive note here, at least perceived positive in the first half of the program. From now, we take a look at something else that's insidiously dealing with our health.
There is so much more about Chuck Chrismeyer and Save America Ministries. on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, SaveUS.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
It appears more and more that one of the most insidious and wicked influences, not only on our minds, but our wills, our emotions, and even our spiritual life, are smartphones. World Magazine calls it a social sickness. Smartphone addictions are metastasizing into a mental health pandemic. So we're hooked on screens, not just the phones, but screens as a whole. The Epoch Times has a feature article called "The Tech Epidemic Eating Away Americans' Minds." Eating away at Americans' minds. Now, I don't know about you, but my mind is pretty important. God's interested in my mind, will, and emotions. That's our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. We need to protect our minds. Our minds are the functioning part of the temple of the Holy Spirit, our bodies. And if we don't protect our minds, well, there's not much left. You can have a heart, but if you don't have the mind that helps to run it, you don't have anything. So screens actually are hooking us and actually destroying our health, and in some instances destroying wealth, and creating more epidemics such as this. Screens are worsening ADHD epidemic. Just 3 years ago, 8% of kids across the United States aged 5 to 17 were prescribed medications for mental health issues like ADHD. And the screen, according to this article, is one of the main culprits behind ADHD. And it ain't funny. If you know of any kids or others that are, or even adults that are struggling with ADHD, you know it's a real pain for them. It helps to, it keeps them from learning. It keeps them from functioning properly. And then they've got to tame their mind because the ADHD is taking over. So another article says, "How I Tamed My Phone Habit." We'll talk a little bit more about that in the final segment of the program here today, how I tamed my phone habit. So here's a question. Do you have a phone habit? Do you have a phone habit? Do you have a social media habit? Do you have a screen habit? Just ask it. Now, the problem, you see, is not with the screen. The problem is with us and the time we spend in front of the screen and what we're seeing when we look at the screen. The screen also is keeping a lot of people from getting sleep. Not because they're watching it so much, because they're watching it and affected by the blue light that is keeping them from sleeping well during the night. Studies are proving this over and over and over again. And if it were not just for the screens, it's also for the earbuds and the headphones. Earbuds and headphones are exposing the majority of our young kids to hearing problems. Doctors are noticing how, as earbuds became increasingly popular and prevalent among kids, exposes them to more intense noise on a regular basis, and the noise exposure Risks to young kids have historically involved loud, singular events like concerts or fireworks, but parents now underestimate the harmful problem from excessive use of listening devices. Anybody listening? Or have you been using the devices too so that you can't hear? Half of parents in the survey believe their kids use headphones and earbuds so often because the devices keep them entertained. So they're exposing their kids knowingly and negligently to a noise level that's destroying their hearing. Tiny hair cells inside the ear pick up sound waves to help you hear, and when these get damaged or die, hearing loss becomes irreversible. When kids experience tons of noise, it can also impact sleep, academic learning, language, stress levels, even blood pressure. I don't know. It bothers me when I see not kids alone, but adults seemingly addicted to earbuds. And everywhere they go, whether it's the post office, the grocery store, everywhere they go, they've got to have something in their ear. It's almost like an addiction. And where is the place for Christians to be still and know that He is God if we're constantly feeding ourselves with noise? The prophet Elijah ran up against this, not in the days of earbuds, but he ran up against this because he was running for his life from Queen Jezebel, who had determined to kill him. And so he found himself by the brook Cherith, and God fed him with the raven there. And he was crying out to God, and he wanted to die, actually, because he didn't see much use for his life after this. And God said, well, there are at least 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee. But there was a great wind, but the voice of the Lord was not in the great wind. And there were some other things that happened, and God didn't speak through those things. But then after those things, God spoke to Elijah with a still, small voice. Now, you can't hear the voice of the Lord if you're so busy listening, you're so busy entertaining yourself, you're so busy hearing sounds, this, that, or the other, no matter how good or bad they might be. I would rather hear the voice of the Lord than the sound of 100 hours of preaching or teaching. That doesn't mean I wouldn't want to hear any preaching or teaching. But I want to hear the voice of the Lord. Do you? Be still, he said, and know that I am God. I need to be still for that to happen. I can't be on the treadmill, busy, busy, busy all the time. So I have to provide space in my life to hear the voice of the Lord. But back to smartphones and the social media hold. Another article tells us that talks about breaking free of social media's hold. Person writes, when I quit social media 6 years ago, I wasn't ready for what came next. Because quitting social media, they said, made real life and relationships far more meaningful. The person said, I was so clueless about the addictive hooks that were already latched onto me. Maybe that resonates with you. This person happened to be a Catholic, but it doesn't matter whether you're a Catholic or a Protestant. Be still and know that I am God. A tech epidemic eating away America's minds. So let me ask you a question. How does a screen hook you? How does a screen hook you? Well, it's just like anything else. If you give it too much time, over time, it becomes your companion. It becomes the place that you go for solace, perhaps. And you just have to have the latest information. And what somebody just said about you or didn't say about you, that's where our kids run into problems. And so they lose their peace. And anxiety is one of the horrible problems that comes about from social media, that comes about through the use of smartphones. The problem isn't with the phone. The problem is we're not smart. And the phone is outsmarting us. And intentionally so. Those that are creating these devices, and then all of the apps and everything that goes with it, including the social media, including TikTok, and whatever other things that you might find yourself or your kids or your grandkids using, you may think they're using them, but those things are using your kids. Yes, they are. They're addicting them. Smartphone addiction is becoming rampant around the globe, says another article. Social media screen time competes with our focus on loved ones, core life ambitions, and essential chores. Worldwide, more than 6.6 billion people use smartphones for communication, internet browsing, or gaming. Do you realize that that's almost as many people as have been reached for the gospel? 6.6 billion people out of 8 billion. But we're more interested in social media. Increasing research reveals that compulsive use of smartphones can significantly affect physical and mental health, leading to depression, infertility, and delayed brain development. Infertility? Huh. Use of smartphones leading to infertility? Yes. In fact, a study went out, a poll went out, discovering what people would be willing to sacrifice in order to keep their social media accounts and smartphones. They were willing to sacrifice a lot of very important things, like even the ability to have kids. That's right. Willing to sacrifice even the ability to have kids. And other things as well. We'll talk about that when we get back from the break. I'm so glad that you've joined us here on the program today. Hopefully some of these things are helpful. We need all the help we can get. Not just the Surgeon General now, but all the help practically that we can get. Don't we? We'll be back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, "I'll build my church." Is Christ by His Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, "Behold how they love one another." Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click Sell Church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny. Our viewpoint concerning these matters of our health does determine destiny. We sure hope, as Tucker Carlson interviewed the new selection for president's selection for Surgeon General, that was the interview that we played about a minute and a half or so of that conversation, Tucker Carlson was interviewing her, and she says, you know, bottom line, all of these things are spiritual issues. Now, that's quite something coming from the Surgeon General now. They're spiritual issues. We don't tend to think that way, but they really are. Because anything that has dominion over me is a spiritual issue. It always is. So we can't allow anything to have dominion over us. When anything else other than the Holy Spirit has dominion over us, we're in trouble. And it's very easy in this generation in which we live, probably more difficult than ever, to submit day by day to the Holy Spirit rather than the unholy spirits that come through all of these various agencies that addict us. So let's take a look, a little further look at this matter of social media addiction. Addiction is defined as a pleasure-inducing behavior that, through repeated exposure, gradually leads to loss of control and further negative consequences. So research suggests that smartphone addiction is similar to most addictive disorders. It makes the risk of addiction even more insidious and pervasive because it's easy to operate. A study published in the JAMA Psychiatry Survey of 6,600 American teenagers found, compared with those not using social media, those using it for 30 minutes to 3 hours per day had almost two times more risk of developing symptoms, including anxiety and depression. But the risk increased to 2.5 times for 3 to 6 hours daily usage, and just under 3 times for more than 6 hours a day. The more time spent on social media, the stronger the feelings of anxiety, depression, and loneliness. A study published in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine revealed that people who frequently check social media were almost 3 times more likely to develop depression than those who seldom checked it. A recent study from Canada claimed that social media addiction might be as destructive as other forms of addiction, such as gambling and medicine abuse. Researchers surveyed 750 Canadians aged 16 to 30 and found that those who frequently access social media on their smartphones were willing to make amazing sacrifices to stay on social media. About 40% were willing to give up caffeine, alcohol, and video games. 10% would accept inability to have kids, infertility, or give up a year of their life. 5% were willing to lose 5 or 10 years of their life just to stay on social media. Unbelievable. Additionally, the research showed that people with higher levels of smartphone addiction had decreased cognitive abilities, visual and auditory reactions, and self-control. They scored lower on overall happiness and higher on fear of making mistakes and procrastination. I don't know about you, but, you know, this is not just one or two studies. These are over several years now confirming the social media thing is a real crisis. It's a health crisis. And it's not just a health crisis for unbelievers. It's a health crisis for professing Christians, including you. All kinds of problems arise from too much screen time. And it's not just the smartphone. One of the things that I find, I have a schedule that I go by as part of my research and preparation for staying abreast of what's going on in our world and being prepared to communicate with you each day here on the program. By the way, we just now entered our 31st year. May 7th, yesterday, we just entered our 31st year of broadcasting. 5 days a week, live, every day different. Every day different. Continue to pray for us, friends. And may I suggest again that you seriously consider becoming a partner, because it's getting more and more difficult. There are a variety of reasons why we can figure out, we can, shall we say, speculate as to why donations drop off. Probably some of it, some of our listeners have moved and they're not listening on terrestrial radio in the areas where they were accustomed to before, but now they can listen on their cell phone via podcast. And they don't have to be addicted to listen to it or to listen to their cell phone hour after hour after hour. 1 hour and that's it. They can get the information, the encouragement, the discipleship. They can get it all right here on Viewpoint. I would urge you to seriously consider becoming a partner, because we cannot maintain this program on the air without a number, quite a number of professing Christians who value the program, who value what we're doing, who found it to be life-changing, certainly informing, perhaps life-changing for you, as many people attest, but they still haven't found it helpful or necessary or advisable for them to contribute. So you wait on other people to do that for you. How about if we come together on this? We're not here to beg. We never beg here on this program. I don't like to ask for financial support. We're here to deliver a message, not to receive money. But the money is necessary, so even Jesus knew that they had to pay taxes, so he found a way to make it possible to get the necessary money to go pay Caesar. But in any event, we're not trusting you, we're trusting God. From the very beginning, this has all been an exercise of faith, a long obedience in the same direction. But God uses people. And so we trust God, and we trust that he also is speaking to others. Just as he spoke to me 30 years ago to launch this program, he can speak to others to assist in getting the message out, because they can't be on the air, but they can help keep the message going. So consider that. And go to the website, saveus.org, make a generous gift there. You can sign up for a what we call an automatic donation each month. And whatever you sign up for, if circumstances arise that you need to stop that or change the amount, either up or down, it can be done almost instantly. So you can do that. You can give us a call, 1-800-SAVE-USA. You can write to us at Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia, 23255. Another thought, because the price of gold and silver has gone up so dramatically, that means those of you who have gold and silver and have bought coins and so on, you have substantial capital gains. One of the best ways to be able to deal with that, if you sell it, you're going to have to pay a capital gains tax on the difference between what you paid for it and what you sell it for. But if you donate it, like to Save America Ministries, you will not have to pay a capital gains tax, and you will get credit for the donation at the value of the coin at the time that you donate it. It's a pretty great deal. And a number of our listeners have, without even being requested, decided to do that over the years, and we appreciate it. But just a few. But we're in a situation now where it could be far more beneficial to many. Just thinking. Just talking out loud. So, are you willing to tame your phone habit? How are you going to tame your phone habit? How are you going to tame your social media habit? How are you going to help your kids or your grandkids tame their habits? It's like a drug, friends. It's being used. Its ramifications are like a drug. That's what the studies are finding. So we need a detox. How can you detox your phone time, your social media time? How can you detox your computer time? I personally dedicate somewhere between an hour to an hour and a half a day to do the necessary research that I need to do. And then, after that, I'm through. I'm not going to allow myself to be addicted to all of that. I use my cell phone, which is a smartphone, primarily to make and receive calls. That's what phones are for. I don't find it necessary to follow every ding that comes through a text message because two-thirds of them now are phony anyway. I'm not that desperate to know. I want to keep up with things. I want to keep up with people. I want to be able to connect with people. And that's how I use it. I don't let it use me. That's the problem that we have. We allow these things to take over in our life, don't we? We allow them to use us. Somebody might start by taking some pain medication. There wasn't anything necessarily wrong with that, but then they keep taking it, and they depend upon it, and they felt good taking it for one day, then for 2 days, then for 3 days, and by 5 days, they were addicted. Why do we let that happen? Why do we let that kind of thing happen with anything in our life? Whether it's sex, whether it's whatever it is. Exercise, some people are addicted to exercise. Exercise is good. But over-exercise isn't. Why would we not be willing to spend at least 15 minutes to a half an hour a day in God's Word if we're willing to spend an hour or more on the smartphone? Are you beginning to get the picture? Yeah. Just thinking out loud, friends. It's like having a conversation in your family room. Reducing phone use is like weeding a garden. If you're going to have a garden that's healthy and produces good fruit, you got to clear out the weeds, and you got to keep doing it. Just ask me. I know. That's what I'm having to do, even at this time. Let's make space in our lives for meaningful activities and relationships, first with God and then with one another, and prune away the weeds that are stealing our attention and addicting us. We've got to be detoxed. Amen. Thanks for joining us again. Become a partner. Send your gifts by faith, friend, to Save America Ministries, P.O. Box 70879, Richmond, Virginia 23255. And pray for the new Attorney General. She says all of these things that we're dealing with are spiritual. Wow. Maybe that's the reason why Donald Trump decided to appoint her. Pray for her. God bless and be a blessing.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.